Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the First Baptist Church Savannah, Georgia podcast. It's already episode 5, y'all. Like, are we professionals at this now?
I hope so. We're trying.
We're starting to get the hang of things.
That's right. We're trying to get this thing down. I hope folks have enjoyed the podcast so far. Of course, if you have any suggestions, you can always let us know. It is the week of Transfiguration Sunday, and so this week, Lauren, you're going to be talking about, I assume, the Transfiguration.
Something about that, yes.
Now, we'll get to that later on in the podcast. But first, this past weekend, the ladies of FBC had a wonderful women's retreat, huh, Lauren?
Tell us about it. We had a beautiful weekend at Wesley Gardens. The weather was perfect, and we were joined, I think we've said before, by Terry Canzanieri from the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, also sister of Gay Roundtree.
Right.
But she used a lot of her pastoral counseling experience. She has over 30 years of experience in that field to talk to us about emotions. And so she focused on the four main emotions, mad, sad, glad, and afraid, and kind of expanded on those and talked about where those come from, what those usually mean, and then also gave us some exercises to do for each one of those. She also gave us some meditation exercises that we practiced, only for 3 minutes, because if you're not used to meditation, it takes you a while to get into that, but even minutes was refreshing and a nice part of the weekend.
It's amazing how long 3 minutes is.
If you are not used to meditating, yes, it can feel like forever. Though we had people there who meditate on a regular basis, and they said, "Oh, I was just getting into it when she called time." So,
yeah, like you said, for those who have never done it, it feels like an eternity.
Right.
If you're a steady practicer of meditation, then 3 minutes is. Like you said, you're just starting.
Yeah. She recommended. She said a long time ago when she had a spiritual director, they told her she had to do an hour a day, which even Terry said that's a little extreme. She recommended 15 minutes. She said if you can do 15 minutes a day, that's a really great goal for you to have.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Is that like prayer time or just silence?
No, there's different types of meditation. We did two different types, and she actually did a third during worship on Sunday morning. She did a compassion meditation where you meditate on and pray for compassion for different people that you might list, friends and enemies.
Yeah.
But at the retreat, I can't think of the name of it, Josh. What's the one where you focus just on, it's like the Jesus prayer, but.
The breathing prayer?
Yes, the breath prayer, yeah. Where you breathe in one phrase and you exhale another phrase, so.
That's my favorite one to do.
I like that one. Yeah, she, what the phrase she recommended was, you breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd, and you breathe out, I shall not want. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the purpose is all you do is breathe, and all you do is say that phrase. And when your mind starts to wander, you come back to that phrase. And so that's supposed to bring you back, because your mind will wander, and you'll start making grocery lists or thinking of the 1,000 things you have to do. But the point is to keep saying that in and out, until you don't have to anymore.
Uh-huh.
Right. Until you just, it's natural.
Right.
In some ways, yeah.
Right.
The way that I've done that before also is you breathe in something positive and breathe out something negative.
Yes.
And so, you know, your phrase or your word may be something like, you breathe in peace and you breathe out anxiety.
Yeah. Yes.
Or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
The one we did in worship, too, was about your breath and thinking of things and using that as a way to think and control what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. And the other one she did at the retreat was, you just focus on, you pick a word that is meaningful or significant to you for some reason. So it might be peace, it might be Jesus, it might be freedom. That's an example that one person used, but you just say that word over and over and over again. So you might say peace, 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 or you might say it really slowly, peace, as you breathe in and out. But it's, again, it's to keep your mind from wandering.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to say that one word.
Huh.
So,
you know, Terry alluded to it on Sunday morning. There has been tons of research done in the past few years on the power of meditation and prayer,
right,
especially on the brain and on how that affects the body.
Yes.
So if people wanted to, you know, Google that, there has been lots of research on that. And it's fascinating.
Right. Yeah, it is. It really is.
Stuff. They've done like brain scans of monks who are steady prayers and people while they're praying, and it's just amazing, amazing stuff.
Neat.
It's really worth the read if you can find some good reputable articles on it.
Yeah, it's true, and so many positive things to say about what 15 minutes a day can of true meditation can really do for your body and your brain.
So, Lauren, was there a high point to the weekend that you can think of? A good story? Or maybe maybe even something that was just good fellowship for folks?
All of it really was. We had so many people cook wonderful food for us. Mm. I think we all know that the ladies of FBC can cook well.
Yes, they can.
Me not being one of them, but the rest of them can cook really, really well.
Lauren, you make really good muffin tops.
Thanks. But we had good food. I think a lot of people enjoyed the time by the bonfire with s'mores. That was fun. And there are no lights out there, so the stars are brilliant. They're beautiful with a clear sky.
Which is just crazy because it's not that far out of Savannah.
No, if you look on the map, you're really not that far away.
Right.
but you feel like you're out on this remote island somewhere.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it really is.
And you know, the women of FBC had their retreat, but Kyle, the first event for the dudes of FBC is coming up February 16th. We're going to go bowling and have a, if people want, they can have a meal at the bowling alley with us, but a chance for the guys of FBC to get together, have some time together to have fun, fellowship, and just hang out.
I would challenge them to beat Jacqueline Dion's bowling score that she got on Sunday, because I'm not kidding. She's a pretty good bowler.
Really? Yeah, the kids went out on Sunday to bowl, and I think she got a high 80, right?
98 was her her second score. Wow. Yeah, she almost broke 100.
She did. She was really close, which was better than most of the adults
did. Yes, that's true. Uh-huh. Very true.
Did she do that on a regular basis, or did she just have
have bumpers, you know. She just picked it up. She might be a natural bowler. I don't know.
I even think she got a couple of strikes.
Yeah, she did.
She must have had some force on that ball.
She was doing really well, but we are looking ahead to some other events that the guys of FBC can do as well. So keep your ears open for what those events will be in the rest of the spring. Another thing that happened today is that our Cuba mission team got on a plane and they flew down to Miami, traveling down to Cuba tomorrow. And the folks that are on that team, Lauren, remind us of who they are.
Those are Fran Arnsdorf, Tyler Carver, Ann Siemanicki, John Finley, Curtis Lewis, Polly Stram, and Steve Stram. So a lot of veterans.
And a few first-timers, though.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. They always like to introduce new people to the country. Yeah.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to hear their stories when they come back to see if anything has changed in Cuba.
Right.
Especially since the U.S. has lifted a lot of sanctions on Cuba, and see how that change is going to happen over the next few years.
Right. Yeah. When they were there last year, they said really not much had changed. They didn't see much of a difference. I think you said, Kyle, they saw more tourism maybe?
It was my first time, so it's hard to say, but I think they were doing a lot of, like, work, though, on stuff. Maybe that's normal, but buildings and roads and...
That's pretty normal.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like every time I went, they were always constructing something. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Very similar to the U.S.
Right. Right.
Or even just around Savannah, there's always some road construction somewhere.
Right.
But I did read something, an article that said that it was getting really hard to get rooms down there now.
Mm.
Yes, that is true. In
fact... I don't know if they had trouble.
Our team this time, they're staying in guest houses or host houses rather than hotels.
Oh.
So this is the first time they're doing
that.
Yes, it was more difficult to get rooms. Mm-hmm. The Plaza Hotel where they normally stay was totally booked.
Huh. And when we were there last year at this time, there were like whole floors that weren't being used.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just empty.
I
wonder what causes that. Maybe just all those sanctions being lifted, people can travel there much more easily and want to go see Cuba, maybe?
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are more Americans there than have been in recent years.
Oh, yeah.
So this Wednesday, we get to hear on our Wednesday night program, we get to hear from Tina Bailey, A Story of Grace and Faith this week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And last week had a great Wednesday night program. If you weren't there to hear Chris Hendricks, it was fantastic.
I heard that he did really well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you weren't in there.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm there, but I don't get to be in the room.
It was, It was really good, Kyle.
It was very well done. Yeah. Everything Chris does is fabulous, and it was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Theology 101 on why do I need these people?
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways told his story. It was almost like a story of grace and faith and
Theology 101. He illustrated that point through his life story and his interactions with churches here in Savannah and growing up and different places.
Yeah, I mean, his last little piece that he said in like the last 2 minutes, I was just like, you need a standing ovation for that. I mean, it was very good. So this week we get to look forward to Tina Bailey and hear her story, which I'm sure will be equally as wonderful to hear. Mm-hmm. So please come to that. And next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday already,
February. It's early.
Yeah.
And it's already Ash Wednesday. I'm sure my friends in New Orleans and my hometown of Gulfport are enjoying some Mardi Gras season right now. But Ash Wednesday is fast upon us, which means that Lent and the Easter season is right around the corner.
It's coming.
Yep. Whew. This is about the earliest it can be.
That's true. That's true. Next Wednesday will be a meaningful time after dinner for Ash Wednesday service, so hope all of you can be there. This Sunday, I know Lauren's looking forward to this.
Yes.
She's preaching on Sunday, but it's also Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
That's right. Lauren's going to try to get out early so she can get all of her football in, right?
Right. I've been counting the hours.
Right. Lauren, if you don't know, is not exactly the biggest football fan.
No, but you are excited.
I am
excited. Your team is playing.
Yeah, my team is playing. The Broncos are playing. Even though I think we're going to lose, I will still be excited and cheer my team on to lose.
Well, I'm happy that you were excited.
All right, but on a more serious note, Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, and Lauren is going to be preaching since John is out of the country on the Cuba trip. And Lauren, you said you're actually going to concentrate on two passages this week. One in Exodus and the story of Transfiguration in Luke.
That's right.
So I thought before we talk about these two passages, usually we read them, and Kyle is going to read the Exodus passage for us, and then I'm going to read the Lucan passage for us. So, Kyle, you want to start us off?
Sure thing. So, we're in Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord.
All right, and from the Lucan passage, chapter 9, starting with verse 28 and reading till verse 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. So, Lauren, what are your first thoughts on these two passages?
Well, if you listen to those, you'll notice some commonalities among both of those passages. You're on a mountain. Mm-hmm. You're having an some sort of interaction with God, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bright, shiny talk. people's faces are glowing. Mm-hmm. And so both of these would generally be called a theophany because you're having people, humans, interact with God. A theophany is a revelation of God to people mm-hmm. in one form or another. And so we have an Old Testament version and we have a New Testament version.
So how do these two come together, or at least maybe a peek into what you're thinking for Sunday of how these two passages come together, besides these commonalities that are pretty obvious by listening? Right.
Well, they both are big events. This is a big event for Moses and for mm-hmm. the Israelites, and this is a big event for Jesus and for Peter, James, and John. Mm. And we think about Transfiguration Sunday. Not everyone celebrates that, but if you do, you think about that as a big Sunday. We don't count it as big as Easter, probably, or Christmas, but it's a big event in the life of Jesus and in the Christian calendar, and so we're going to talk about that's a significant thing, but also that our lives are not always full of what are big, epic, significant events. Mm. And so perhaps look at what the rest of our lives are filled with for most of the time. They're not always made up of these epic events like this.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of parallels, or at least scholars will bring out that there's a lot of parallels between the Moses story and the Jesus story. Yes. Sometimes. The commonality of coming out of Egypt, the commonality of both of them, powerful kings are trying to kill them at the very beginning. Lots of things that happened to Moses on a mountain are a little yes. bit paralleled with Jesus on a mountain.
Well, and this Luke passage also references Elijah, which there are a lot of interactions with Moses, or they talk about Elijah as well, so there's that connection also.
What's fascinating to me is that the transfiguration happens in every gospel, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm,
this is
right.
one of the few stories that
one
happens
few,
in
right.
all four of the gospels that's recorded.
Right. And it's interesting. Some scholars will tell you that this, Luke's iteration of this is actually, or was originally, a telling of the resurrection story, but it's just recast in this manner. That's what some scholars will tell you, but not others will say, no, that's not true. There was a transfiguration and it happened at a different time.
Interesting. What also stands out to me with the transfiguration is that the passages around it are not these mountaintop moments.
No.
You know?
No.
Especially, I think, in the Matthew passage, they're bookend by these deep valleys in Jesus's life.
Well, that's true. And as soon as these three guys come down from the mountain, they fail terribly.
Yeah, yeah.
Life yeah. does not look great for them when they come off the mountain. They're not doing so well.
Yeah.
So you're right. It is. They are deep valleys and a really high mountain. And if you'll remember, when Moses comes off the mountain the first time, that's when
yeah.
they've built the golden calf and the Ten Commandments have been broken. And the reason we're in Exodus 34 and he goes up there again is because that happened.
Right.
And so he's
right.
going back up there. He's changed God's mind about what God wants to do with the Israelites. And so he's going back up there to get more commandments and try again.
Lauren, it seems like Peter here, who's always quick to jump to something.
Yes.
You know, he always wants to open his mouth a little bit. Seems like he wants to make camp here for a while.
He does. He wants to stay up on the mountain.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice to sit up here in front of Jesus' shiny face?
Right.
With me and my best friends, and just stay here.
And Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, and Moses and some of the great figures of the faith, and not have to leave and not have to deal with all the people at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah. It's almost like Jesus is telling them, no, we're not going to stay here. We
right.
have to go down.
Right, we have to go back down. And if you read that passage, you'll see how it talks about how Peter, James, and John were sleepy. Or Jesus has to tell them to wake up, and that's when he says, well, let us build you some tents. So it's almost like he hasn't been paying attention, and he's in a daze, or he's sleepy, or he's confused, and out of that sleepiness, he says, okay, well, I know what I'm supposed to do here. I'm going to build you a tent and worship you or something. So you could read it as he's not paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever noticed. I don't know if this is only in the Lucan passage, but I don't think I've ever noticed that they were sleepy.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, that's how Luke puts it. I don't think all of them say it quite like that, but Luke does say they were sleepy or asleep, which you'll remember in other stories, Jesus yells at them, wake up, fall asleep, and they do anyway.
Right, when he's praying in the garden.
Right.
So, Lauren, anything else you want to say about this passage? Or these two
passages? I will, but I'll have to say it on Sunday.
Right. That's right. You'll save it for the sermon.
I can't tell everybody everything now.
Right. Well, please join us on Sunday, 11 o'clock at First Baptist Church of Savannah. If you want to come to Sunday school, that is always at 9:45. There's plenty of Sunday school classes that you can participate in. Kyle, on Sunday, the choir, should we expect another great anthem from them this Sunday?
Always.
I enjoyed the Shaker tune.
Cool.
It was
nice. It was something different, but they did a great job with that.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're doing a great job in there. They're working hard on Rudder, so everybody can keep that in their memory banks.
Yeah, what date is that again?
March 6th. Okay. Sunday, March 6th at 4 o'clock.
All right. Well, as always, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is FBCSAV. And as always, come join us on Sunday. If you're there, we will see you there and gladly welcome you.